everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another show of Seniors Matter, brought to you by Upland Rehabilitation and Care Center, where we're offering skilled nursing, physical, and occupational therapy to anyone you know that might need it. I am your host, Jolene Bubeck, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Harvey Cohen. Dr. Cohen, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm fabulous. Thank you for asking.
That's good.
I'm glad to be here.
And I'm glad to be here, too.
Dr. Cohen is board certified in internal medicine and geriatrics and is located in Rancho Cucamonga. And today, our two very special guests who have been here before, but unfortunately, I wasn't here at that time, so I'm very happy to finally meet you gentlemen. We have Mr. Tim Ingram and Mr. Ken Ingram from Family's Choice Home Care. And how are you two doing today?
We're doing
very well, thank you.
Good. Thank you again for coming in today.
My pleasure.
And Ken is the president and CEO of Family's Choice Home Care, and Tim is the director of sales and business development manager, right?
But more or less.
More or less. Director. Director. Anyways, today we are going to be talking about elder abuse and the many different kinds and what it can look like. So I will pass it over to you, Dr. Cohen.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure.
This is a subject very dear to me. In fact, I've been involved with the Adult Protective Services and on their committee for about 15 years. And so I've been involved. In fact, I just did a case for them up in Apple Valley. And so I'm very aware regarding elder abuse. It's a name that, when we hear about that, we say abuse. What does that mean, abuse? We hit older people or strike older people. Well, it actually, as defined in New England Journal about 8 to 10 years ago, it's a series of omissions or commissions. Either we omit things or we commit things, so it's omissions and commissions as opposed to, say, elder abuse, which sounds so, horrific, and sometimes it can be horrific, and sometimes it should probably be called elder abuse, but there's omissions and commissions. So today what we're going to be speaking about to start off with, we're going to be speaking about, omissions. Tell me some kind of things that somebody could omit that one would think could be elder abuse.
You'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised because I've seen almost everything.
One thing I've seen is financial resources, omitting or siphoning off the parents' financial resources, and then that puts them in a dire straits, and then they struggle financially, and many times they have the resources. Their adult children or friends or neighbors are taking advantage of situations, and
So financially is a big deal, and sometimes, unfortunately, they're getting checks from Social Security. The person's in the hospital, the person's on a ventilator, the patient is brain dead. And yet the family keeps on saying, keep them here because something could happen and maybe they'll come. And we know that there's no way that they're going to ever improve or have a quality of life. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they're doing is taking their money, their Social Security checks, each month, and they're using that under the guise of caring for the person, but at the same time keeping them on a ventilator or keeping them going, when in reality, they're having a very poor quality of life.
That's right.
And it could be a fiduciary, the financial thing regarding elder abuse. So that's one of the things of omitting and not doing, and I agree with that.
No, it's a big problem, and we see it all the time, unfortunately. And people also trying for power of attorney. We've had people take their parents in and say they're not mentally competent anymore, and I need to take power of attorney of their estate, and I've seen that happen too.
I've done so many cases as an expert witness just in that kind of a domain where you have them saying, well, they signed the house over and the trust fund was changed, and now you have the person who's really cognitively impaired and doesn't have insight, doesn't have judgment, and they have them sign on a line giving them all the money, and you have to say, well, at the time the person signed, did the patient have capacity to understand what was going on or not? So that's a big deal, and
really
we
is.
Say that not frequently, and I've been involved with that as an expert witness.
Yeah. We see that a lot in the nursing home as well. You know, just even if they come in and they have copays for, you know, they might not even be very expensive copay, and the next thing you know, the family disappears. Mm-hmm. You never see, and the patient can be like, "Oh, I know, I have money. It's not a problem at all." Like, your daughter isn't giving it. You know, your daughter's handling it, so you need to call her. It's very sad.
Yeah,
it's very sad.
Yeah. So, go on. Any other things for omission?
Well, neglect is a big form of abuse as well, which is just omitting basic care.
Yeah,
not taking care of their hygiene needs, making sure that they're fed and hydrated properly, taking care of their basic shelter needs, just omitting these basic forms of life.
And sometimes, very well said. And I think the other thing is that not getting the patient the pills they need. You know, when somebody is, you know, they have many jobs and they have many functions, and the doctor says, well, you have to be taking pill A, B, and C, and they're totally dependent. Oh, that's an important thing, this dependency that they have, and that's why they're able to get away with it so long, with this kind of dependency, and they can't pick up the pills for them because they didn't have any time. That's also a form of omission. You're not getting the pills for the patient that they need. You know, so I think that's very, very important. Tell us something about psychological effects on patients.
Well, one of the issues or aspects of psychological abuse is just, as he said, neglect, but not spending time with them and providing the basic care needs.
Isolation.
And being sometimes abusive, saying that you have I'm talking from experience, you have a patients or family, they say, well, since mom has this odor because she may wet in her pants, or she passes gas very freely, she can't come down to eat with us. She has to stay upstairs when we eat downstairs because we can't stand the smell. How terrible. Terrible.
It's really sad.
And that's this, you know, with these omissions and the neglect and commissions. And what do? Commission-wise, we take their money. Mm-hmm. We take their money. We can sometimes even have physical abuse.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Physical abuse. Can you give us an example?
Physical abuse? Well, simple neglect, again, is physical abuse. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, especially with Alzheimer's or dementia, the family, the patient, the person with that can be very challenging, and it can be very frustrating for the family to deal with. That's why many times we get involved. It's easier to care for somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia if they're not family. Sometimes if they're family, it just gets really challenging, and they get frustrated, and they'll lash out, both verbally and physically.
Yeah, and sometimes they can end up with black and blue marks on their body.
Right.
And again, I was called by the public defender several years ago. There was somebody who said that they were all full of black and blue marks, and it was a case of elder abuse. You know, and when somebody has black and blue marks, important thing to notice, it's not the size of the black and blue marks. It's not the number of the black and blue marks. It's the location of the black and blue marks. That's a key point. Location, location. Like when you buy a house, right?
Right.
It sounds like I'm buying a house here. Location. No, but location of the black and blue marks. Where are the black and blue marks? Where do you note them? Where are they? You know, so it's not the size, the number, the color. The most important thing is the location of the black and blue marking. That was a thing we utilized in with this person that I was, you know, defending.
Well, that would make sense because the elderly, you know, they probably tend to fall or run into things more often, bruise easily, maybe based on their medication. So I think the majority of the elderly probably have quite a bit of bruises.
And especially if they're on an anticoagulant.
Right.
They're on like Coumadin, Eliquis, Pradaxa, any of these pills or aspirin, and they get black and blue. The most common place to have it is the arm and the legs.
And their hands, back of their hands.
But if you have it on their neck, on their back, on their torso, on their thighs, you have to be very careful. Is that because, you know, they're being manhandled? Anything else you want to say about?
Well, also to that point, oftentimes when there is physical abuse and you ask them about it, they may they may not be forthcoming about it. They may give excuses.
And why not?
As to where it came from. And maybe they may feel, I guess, a bit ashamed that they're being subjected to such abuse and they don't know what to do about it necessarily.
Any other reason?
Well, they don't want to get their... In many situations, it's the person that's providing care that's mm-hmm. doing it, and they fear that if they lose that care, mm-hmm. then they're totally alone. Yeah.
That's it.
Bad care is better. I guess they think bad care is better than no care.
That's it.
Well, and I would imagine, too, if it is a mother and their child is doing that...
Oh, sure.
As a mom, you have this unconditional love, even when your children treat you very poorly. You wouldn't ever do anything to hurt your child.
Well, sure.
So you wouldn't want to get them in trouble or get them, you know.
And as you said so well, Ken, that if you're counting on that person, right. you have a fear that if you snitch on that person, you're not going to get the care that you're getting. You know, and so you have that fear, and it's intimidation. Mm-hmm. It's actually intimidation. Mm-hmm. So you can't say anything about my loving son or my loving daughter. That doesn't, because the fear, if I open my mouth, they'll put me into the nursing home. They're going to do terrible things to me and take away this from me or that. So they have that fear. One of the things we'll speak about the next portion of the of the program is that, you know, how do we evaluate that when they come to the office? Mm-hmm. And what do we do? And who do we get to help us? And when can we say, well, this is too much? And who do we report to? And what do we say? Because it's very complicated. But it is a problem, a mm-hmm. big problem in our society.
It is.
All right, everyone. Well, stay with us. This is Seniors Matter, and we will be right back with Dr. Cohen, Tim, and Ken Ingram.
Are you looking for intense and thorough physical therapy for your elderly parent? Do you want to ensure an environment that provides 24-hour care with physicians on call and caring staff that enhances your loved one's health, safety, and transition back home? Let Upland Rehabilitation and Care Center be your answer. Located across the street from the Great San Antonio Community Hospital in Upland, Upland Rehab provides premier skilled nursing and subacute services. You can rest easy knowing that your parent or loved one is in the caring, able hands of their fabulous nurses and physical therapy staff. Because Upland Rehabilitation and Care Center's nurses and therapists are in-house, they know your loved one and therefore provide exceptional post-surgical services, including fine dining and help with bathing, grooming, and dressing. Please stop by today for a quick tour and meet the Upland Rehabilitation and Care Center's friendly staff. Experience the Upland difference. At Upland Rehab, you will find their family nurturing yours. You're invited to visit today. Call Upland Rehabilitation and Care Center at 909-985-1903. That's 909-985-1903. Or take a virtual tour online at uplandcare.com.
AM 590, The Answer.
Welcome back to Seniors Matter, everyone. I am your host, Jalene Bubeck, joined by my co-host, Dr. Harvey Cohen, and our two special guests today, Tim and Ken Ingram from Family's Choice Home Care. And we are going to be continuing our discussion on elder abuse. So I'll pass it back to you, gentlemen.
Yeah, well, thank you again, Jalene. You know, as we were speaking during the break, we were speaking with Ken, and we were speaking about these scams and the things, you know, that get to me is... What happens on television when they see these people on television and they want people to sign up about it? Tell us some about those scams that we see.
Well, scams come in many different forms. You know, there's a list actually, and we have it posted on our website, a link to the San Bernardino County Department of Aging, of all the scams that are currently identified and posters about them in...
How many are there? Approximately, we
right
say
now, it lists on the website. I don't want to say this 2025.
Yeah, I
would
imagine.
Going. Yeah,
I would imagine.
All targeting seniors, and they come in the forms of trying to get people to sign up for subscriptions or services that don't exist, taking their money, telling people that they have unclaimed income tax refunds, and then therefore a fee, they will go after these. These monies that are due to them, believe. Sales of supplies, you know, if they find out they're diabetic or whatever, they'll try to sell them services and subscription or prescriptions that they think that they can get at a discount rate. And, of course, they never show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. And I think and on TV, you have so many of these things that everybody's trying to feel good and they capture those things. And I think it also some of them in religion, You know, mm-hmm. they have some of these shows on TV that, well, if you send us, and when I go to Nazareth, I'll put your note in a bottle and put it in the water and do this mm-hmm. for you and that for you. Just send us your money.
Right.
You know, send us your money. And I mean, they have to be very careful.
There's a couple more obscure forms of financial abuse. One being phishing. For those who may not be familiar with phishing, it's maybe you receive an email from your financial institution, your bank, and you know it looks legitimate, but it's requesting that you change your password for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So when you go ahead and change that information is sent to the fraudster, and then they have all your banking information, all your login information, and they essentially have all the access that they need to do what they will with your finances.
Phishing, I like that term. I mean, I mm-hmm. can see why it's caused that, because we get on a cell phone, they tell me your account is overdrawn at, what's that, the credit card.
Visa, MasterCard?
No, the big...
American Express?
That's right, Express card. Express card. Your Express card, you know, it's overdrawn. I don't even have one. And they're telling me it's overdrawn, and you better check it. This is emergent. And people can fall into that, this mm-hmm. higher sophisticating kind of abuse. But with caregiver, when you have a caregiver and they're burnt out and they're being torn from every which way, those are people who you have to really be careful, because when you're burnt out, that's when things could happen, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and in a family setting, some of these caregivers are providing care around the clock mm-hmm. and they do burn out. It does become taxing. And then that leads to, like we talked about earlier, physical abuse. They just mm-hmm. get, they're pulled to wit's end and they just lash out.
And the neglect, when you neglect, they don't bring them to doctor's office appointments. They don't take care of them. They don't do what they're supposed to be doing. They don't pick up the medications. Mm-hmm. Don't take them for x-rays and imaging mm-hmm. studies. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it becomes very, so one of the things that you people at your organization, why these kinds of facilities are really so good, is that you help the caregiver so the caregiver can take care of themselves, so everybody is taken care of, so we can decrease the chances of that, right?
Mm-hmm. I tell people that call and inquire about services that we care for the family members as much as we do the patient, because mm-hmm. we provide a break for them. And we're fortunate when they call us, those are the families that do care and do recognize that they are up against a wall and that they need help. Mm-hmm. It's the people that don't call that.
Yeah, but I think more people should utilize your kind of services, because I think it's so in need to try to prevent this from happening, to give them a respite and empower them that it's okay for them. It's okay for them to take care of themselves, and it's okay to allow us to do. What kind of things do you do?
Well, in our service, we provide anything from simple companion care up to personal care, dealing with patients of Alzheimer's.
Hey, you think you can send a companion over to my house?
Oh, my gosh.
Never mind. I hope my wife isn't tuning in.
Yeah, I hope your wife doesn't listen to this one.
No, you said a companion.
And driving to appointments. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we'll get a stressed out daughter or son will call and just say, I need a break. Can you help me? And we can start out with as little as 4 hours a day, one day a week. You know, just we'll give them kind of like a personal day, an afternoon to mm-hmm. go out and get their hair done. I mean, just whatever they want to pamper themselves, so that when mm-hmm. they come back, they feel a little refreshed and renewed to provide care. So we can provide as little as just one day a week, just to give them that break. Because if you're family, it's a 7 day a week job, and they don't take care of themselves mm-hmm. and they need to. That's when abuse.
Yeah. And I would imagine that a lot of them are probably have young children at home as well. And then, mm-hmm. like you said, so it never stops.
Sure.
Somebody always needs them.
And they're in what's called the sandwich generation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So mm-hmm. they're being pulled from every which way. And I think this kind of respite care that you offer is very important for the patient, very important for everybody, you know, especially for the caregiver, because we have to take care of the caregiver, because that's when we find more people going into this pathway of these omissions and commissions on the elderly and abusing them. And it's actually a mandate, right, for the doctors to report that, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. They are, if you work in a hospital, if you're a doctor, if you work in any kind of medical facility, skilled nursing facility, if you suspect abuse, you are mandated to report. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that reporting is a very positive thing because they could bring along some very good help. They can do some really good things if the patient doesn't have a bed the way they need it, or they have to have somebody coming in more often, or they have to provide more medication for somebody to bring it over. And think. So they can do very. So it's not a reporting that could be a punitive reporting, you know, all the time, depending on the how egregious this thing is.
Right.
But it could be sometimes very, very helpful. They get involved. Sometimes when somebody's home alone and they haven't any caregiver, they're all home alone, and it's self-neglect.
Mm. That's true. You know, they have nobody to call on, or they feel, and we get this, we hear this all the time, I don't want to be a burden to my family. Mm. So they suffer in silence. They would rather not call and be that burden. So they'll you're right, self-neglect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's, in fact, that was a board question in geriatrics about 8 months ago when I took it. The answer was, hopefully, PS, obviously, I must have been right. So it was self-neglect was the answer. I don't know the question. But in any case, so when we have...
the answer? You don't know the question?
Yeah, because you get so many questions, and it's so fast. 60 questions every 2 hours. Oh, and you have like 3 sets of that, so there's no recall of questions. You just,
yeah,
it's vague.
Just the answers.
It's vague. It's vague. And getting back to what I was speaking... No, I forgot what I was talking about.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Elda. So when we have somebody and they're there and they're having this problem, how can they contact you?
Well, we have we have a phone number and a website that they can contact us and call. We will go out and we'll talk to families. It's no risk, no obligation. And there's many people that just they can't afford care, but we'll still spend time. At least I personally will try to spend time and provide them to public services and resources where available.
That's a good thing. I mean, to provide those kinds of resources so they can go out and find those things if they can't afford what you have to offer. But I think what you have to offer, or whatever it is, the value is, you know, is beyond whatever it costs. It goes way beyond that because there's a price to pay if you don't do these things. If you don't do these things. My last thing I wanted to talk about is when they come into the room and we're examining patients, we usually get the family to go out and we examine, or the caregiver to go out, and we interview that person alone, not with the person there, because of that intimidation, that fear of speaking to them. I think that's really good. Anything else that you'd like to ask in the last few minutes you'd like to add?
Well, I think it's important to report abuse, even if you're not 100% sure if you just suspect it, because nationally it does go very underreported, about 1 in 14 nationally. Wow. It's a little better in California, but it's still only about 1 in 5 in California. And so there's several ways you can go about reporting it. First and foremost, of course, go through Adult Protective Services. That's where you should first and foremost go to report it. Secondly, your local authorities. Several departments will have a dedicated elder abuse department that can handle these situations.
I didn't know that.
But I think an important one is your doctor. Speaking to your physician and telling your physician about these things and going to see a doctor who understands that. Unfortunately, we have so many docs out there, but so few are reporting because they're not aware of the Adult Protective Services. And I think that's unfortunate, but they need more education as to what does it mean, elder abuse, of these omissions and commissions. And with that to say, I want to thank you two guys for coming today.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm sure we're going to be seeing you again.
Our pleasure.
So. All right, everyone. If you wanted to get in touch with Family's Choice Home Care, you can reach them by phone at 909-303-9377, or they are on the web at www.familieschoicehomecare.com. As always, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Upland Rehabilitation and Care Center, and you can reach them on the web at uplandcare.com or by phone at 909-985-9377. 1903, or you can like us on Facebook. And if you'd like to get in touch with Dr. Cohen, you can reach him on the web at cohenmedicalcenter.com. That's C-O-H-E-N medicalcenter.com, or by phone at 909-987-2528. You all have a wonderful day.